This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, aired on WNM FM 90.5 on Saturday from 12 to 2. I'm your host, Wes from the 904, Duval in the building, the face of the franchise, the leader of the pack.
Oh my!
What are we talking about? What's going on with you?
You are
guys
not the face of the franchise.
James Cole is not the most egotistical
What are we talking about? Exactly, James. I told you, you're the face of the franchise.
You can't get people like him with power, bro.
I was getting the face of the franchise.
You're not the face of the franchise, bro.
Who is?
You know how we settle this? J. School Pageant.
J. School Pageant.
Listen, guys, we got some great stuff for you. We're gonna be talking fam. You're gonna be talking NBA, NFL offseason stuff, college basketball, of course. Fellas, introduce yourselves.
Yo, what's up? It's your man, JP the King. Shout out to Michael Trim. We sitting in his seat today, bro. Yeah. I don't have anything else to say. My bad.
What's up, y'all? It's Flowood's Finest, Kaji Latiker, Reverend the Crooked Letter Place, 601 Magnolia State.
Yo, it's your boy Chris coming straight from the 352 Gainesville, the best city in Florida.
How you guys doing? Joshua Bounds representing the 850.
I thought it was the best Ville. It's the best city now?
Yeah, we're upping it, bro, because no city can mess with us regardless.
Anyways, guys, you know we always started off with some FAMU stuff. And, of course, basketball season wrapped up. Football season's been over, even though shout out to the spring game. Did y'all go to the spring game?
Yeah, absolutely. Did y'all enjoy it?
We got any thoughts about the spring game?
It was a little worried, but that's all right. Yeah, a little weird. I mean, you know, 25 to 24. I mean, that's not really a score you want to see.
Okay.
It's spring football. You know, can't be too worried from spring football. You got time to work things out.
Yeah.
No,
well, you know, a team that has been doing well on the FAMU side has been the track team. Setting records, have already had a phenomenal season. We got Coach of the Year. Shout out to Coach Ellingwood. We won the SWAC championship for the women for the third time, I believe. And we're continuing to set personal records as Tanaya Adams ran a 13.29 100-meter hurdle, which is a personal record. Also, we have a school record with Janari Kenshin setting the school record running an 11.15 100-meter dash. If y'all ran track before, that is ridiculous, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
Very fast.
So shout out to the track team, man, continuing to set records, continuing to set the standard, man. And yeah.
As well as the baseball team doing great things.
Baseball team and softball team. They both on 6-game win streaks.
Absolutely.
You know, women top?
FAMU, they're top. The men's, they're top for first in SWAC with 10-2. They're with Bethune and Texas Southern. The girls, they're number one in the SWAC.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, well, for softball, Prairie View is – FAMU is number one in SWAC East. Prairie View – still,
oh, yeah,
technically,
I forgot they do.
Prairie View is 11-1 in the SWAC.
They're 13-2, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't play each other this season, so we won't probably see anything until the SWAC tournament.
I'm scared of that smoke.
Listen, we're just trying to bring home some SWAC championships. You know, trying to set records,
bring home
our
some
thing.
Hardware, man.
Absolutely,
that's it.
Absolutely. So shout out to them and all that stuff they've been doing, because they've been doing great, and we don't give them enough shine, if we're being honest. You know, they're doing the great things for the university. Moving over to NFL offseason stuff.
Oh man.
Ooh, what do you mean, oh, man? There's been lots of headlines.
No, I'm just saying. I'm looking at this first one. It's just like.
No, Kirk Cousins signed a $172 million 5-year contract with the Raiders.
That contract is not true, by the way.
34, like, that's $34.5 million, bro.
That's the value of the contract. But just like JB said, it's a little different than what it sounds like. Because while it's a high-value contract, his base salary for the 2026 season will only be $1.3
million. Oh, yeah, because he on that.
Okay. And the Falcons will be picking up the tab for some of his contract because they still owe him money.
A lot of his contract.
Ooh, yeah, a lot of his contract. So it's more like a 1-year, $20 million deal is getting picked up by mostly the Falcons. So it's been a good signing in that sense. But everyone's kind of decided that they're picking Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah, but that's where I'm kind of confused about. Because why would you sign?
It's a smart decision. I think it's a great decision.
You think it's a great decision?
Why?
I think if it was a little bit cheaper, I would be on board. Like all on board.
I mean, it's essentially a 1-year contract. Like,
yeah, there are more caveats to the contract. We're gonna get into that into a second. I just want the signing of it. It's a big number, which is a part of it because they don't show the details when they say the contract. They say 5-year, $172 million. Yeah. And then so they got Fernando coming in essentially. We know this pretty much.
Yeah.
Is it a good signing? Is it a crowded quarterback room? Is it what you would like? Is it a good landing spot for him?
For me personally, like, I love it. Cousins has experience in that system, I believe, as their head coach was with the Vikings for a while when Kirk Cousins was there. So I think it fits the system and it shows a long-term investment. A lot of times you draft a rookie quarterback, put him in a terrible situation. He's the most sacked quarterback in the league, doesn't have a lot of help. And while I do like what the Raiders are doing, they're still a couple pieces away. So I think letting Mendoza sit, learn from a veteran like Kirk Cousins, who's still a good quarterback in my eyes. I know he has his ups and downs, but Mendoza learning behind a guy like Kirk Cousins, who is very motivated to the game. If y'all ever watched the quarterback series on Netflix, like, Kirk Cousins really is a student of the game.
He went through it.
And I think Mendoza is going to be eager to learn. I think it's a great opportunity for both of them, honestly.
I kind of, in that sense, I understand that. Also, in on the other side, I kind of do, for me, if I'm Mendoza, I'm kind of like, okay, so do y'all still see me as your like long-term quarterback since you kind of did this? Because in a sense, it's like, he's probably expecting I'm coming in here, basically I'm the number one guy of the franchise.
Day
and I'm
one.
Supposed to, like, day one. And it's like, you probably want me to sit. Kind of like same thing they did with, like, Michael Penix when he went to Atlanta. It's like, how is he really going to feel sitting behind him? Is he really going to, like, be okay with that?
But you know what, Chris? I hear what you're saying about that. But at the same time, I don't think Fernando Mendoza is going to be too psyched out about that. If you ask me, we know about Fernando Mendoza. He's a gritty player. Like, his college journey was full of ups and downs, and he was doubting in college. He tried to walk on Miami. Like, he's used to being the underdog, if you will. So him seeing Kirk Cousins being picked up by the Raiders, I don't think he's going to take it any type of way. I think that he's going to take this as a learning opportunity to sit behind Kirk Cousins, learn his tendencies, learn the do's and do nots as a quarterback, and then he's just going to prosper and turn out to be a really good draft pick for the Raiders.
But here's my problem, though, I will say. Let's say they do start with Kirk, and it's not going good. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see the Raiders just throw Mendoza in the fire and basically say, all right, save us now, since you didn't want to do this at the start. Like, that would probably be my only issue with it.
That's fair.
So we're with this signing, are we assuming that Kirk is going to start the year?
Yes, I am. Since you said that, I am.
That's what they were insinuating as well.
Just like with the when Kirk signed with the Falcons, it was one of those things. But they still drafted Michael Penix. It's one of those things. Like, you again, I know they're not paying him a lot, but at the end of the day, you still paid a veteran quarterback to come to your team. And, you know, I think Kirk Cousins still thinks he's a starting quarterback in this league. I think he's better than the bottom 10 at the very least. So he could, you know, even if he only plays half a season, I think he can still provide some valuable minutes for the Raiders. And he could even, well, I wouldn't say win them some games, because their roster needs some work.
They might.
I mean, they could, honestly.
Kirk be going crazy randomly, bro. Like,
I believe Kirk has the highest passing yards on the Falcons, because I think he had a 509 game.
Against Tampa Bay, bro.
Against Tampa Bay. Went crazy.
And when he played on those Redskins, those Washington teams, I mean, he was taking, decent receivers. Like, he took them to the playoffs twice, so they could win some games. If they draft well, I can see them winning some games.
Kirk Cousins, a Hall of Famer, guys?
No, but
we discussed that.
Hall of very good. But he's not a Hall of Famer. Shout out Kirk. Shout out Kirk, friend of the show. Come on, man. But
better than Derek Carr, for sure.
Just lying. My bad, Kirk. I didn't mean to lie to you.
Tap in with us, Kirko.
So what I really want to pose to you is, because putting Kirk Cousins on the team and drafting Michael Penix is very different than putting Kirk Cousins on the team and then drafting Fernando Mendoza with the number one overall pick. Now, they're planning to trade back, get a different quarterback, and have Kirk Cousins start the year. That's one thing. But the Heisman winning first number one overall pick, I don't know if I can see paying a quarterback so much.
Jared Goff didn't start his first year, and he was the number one overall pick. I think, you know, it ended up working out for the Rams. Jared Goff was a starting quarterback for a Super Bowl contender or a Super Bowl runner-up. Yeah. So I think that might be the blueprint that the Raiders are trying to follow.
If it was for like a year or maybe 2 years, then I can understand it. But like a 5-year deal, it's like,
Chris, you got to read the contract.
I understand that. I'm just saying.
Let's get into the nitty-gritty of the contract then. So he'll get paid by the Raiders $1.3 million this year. The rest of his contract will be picked up by the Falcons. Next year, his base salary will also be $1.3 million that the Raiders will pay, and he will have a roster bonus of $10 million at the start of the next season. And then after that, his contract will become fully guaranteed on the third day of the 2027 league year, which will give him another $10 million bonus. Nope, I lied. That means his an $80 million future salary becomes fully guaranteed is what happens. So there's a sweet spot where they can cut him after two years.
Basically. After 2 years, they can get rid of him.
They can get rid of him, and they can keep him for the, give him a roster bonus, say, like, you did a good for us, or they can cut him before, I think.
Yeah,
so
I think it's a two-year contract.
Okay.
My thing is, though, what happens if the Raiders just start winning?
With Kirk?
Yes.
I still think you get rid of him.
I think you still get rid of him after a year.
Honestly, if they start winning, you trade Kirk and you get some return back.
I don't think nobody's going to trade for him.
It's going to be tough to trade for Kirk.
Yeah. Right. Especially coming off those injuries. I don't think they'll trade.
But if he's balling, though, like...
Hey, man.
If he is balling, I mean,
quarterback desperate teams every year. Look at my Browns.
But for really, to take a chance. But here's the thing, y'all have a perfect young timing. Quarterback.
You're right, Wes. It is perfect.
It is perfect timing. Right. That's the only thing I liked about going to that game and watching y'all play, man. I like to see Shador win, but he didn't because it was the Ravens.
Okay.
Y'all didn't win a ring, but it's okay.
You are a Saints fan. Hey, bro, every time Chris is on any show
I'm on, bro.
He talks about how his team. Or no, how my team didn't win a ring and he's a Saints fan. I just can't.
Bro, none of our teams in this move won a ring this season.
Bounce, who's your NFL team?
He's the Detroit Lions.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're on different like playing fields. Like me and so Q, you got good teams.
The Lions are a good team.
And Bounce got a good team.
We got Varsity, we got JV, and we got...
And Poverty.
Yeah.
But all right. Wait.
But
here's the thing, though. Each one of our teams go home with no hardware, so
anyways,
it doesn't matter.
So there's been a lot of talk in the media, on ESPN, just throughout sports media, about a certain quarterback and his issues in the locker room.
Oh, man.
And I'm well known on record not liking this quarterback, so I don't want to show too much bias.
Why? What's wrong with the quarterback?
Man, you haven't been here.
Yeah, you haven't been here long enough. You know, if you had a little bit of experience under your belt, you would know.
I mean, with the things I've done in, you know, a year and a half is, you know, it's crazy, but that's all I'm saying.
Listen, so Jalen Hurts has been told that he's not a great locker room leader. He thinks he's Michael Jordan, and he's not. He thinks he's Kobe Bryant, and he's not. And
where
are
these reports? Can we fact check? Jalen Hurts is one of the more humble guys we've seen. There's no way you guys have not heard about this.
I haven't.
This isn't me talking. This is ESPN reports.
I said the only time I've heard him having problems in the locker room was like him and AJ basically going back and forth.
So,
and by the way, look how long this ESPN article is.
Golly,
that
is.
Yeah, I have that pulled up, and it's literally like.
How much of that is yapping, though? How much of that is yapping from them, though?
It's a narrative, bro. Like, there's so much.
This is a yap session.
Like the 1,200 word paper I got to write at the end of the semester.
Let me get through it. Let me pose you the situation. Okay, so they say he likes to lead like a Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant, like lead by example. We working hard. Like, I'm not going to baby you. I'm not going to help you through it. And then that goes on to say he's also disagreeable with the coaching staff because they like to call plays that are complicated and a good play calling and a good fit for the scheme and what's happening in the moment. And he likes what he likes. He doesn't enjoy going under center, so he doesn't go under center. He doesn't like turning the back to his defense. They don't run play action. And when you don't run play action with a dominant running back like Saquon Barkley, you're losing a lot in your offense. And a specific part that they reference in this article is when it was fourth down against the 49ers in the playoffs. They lost by 4 in this game.
Yeah.
And they had just run 4 verts, a very common football play.
That was such a bad play.
And it's part of the Eagles got. They said they would run the ball twice and throw it deep to A.J. Brown. And this is on Jalen Hurts, it seems, because they called a play on fourth down that was not 4 verts like they had run on third down. And the coaches, it was on the sideline, a coaching call. It was between Kev Batulo, Nick Sirianni, and Jalen Hurts. We're all having a conversation. They said they called a play, and Jalen Hurts was like, no, 4 verts. And that was just after they had run it before. It obviously didn't work, and they lost that playoff game.
So I think with Hurts, it's been a recurring theme with him a lot. Like, he's always had a new OC almost every year of his career. And it's like, at first I'm like, okay, is it really Kobe? But now I'm just like, okay, is it just you in a sense? Like, we know with Hurts, he's not a guy where we're like, okay, let's draw up something fancy for him. It's just real standard play calling, like, we just want you to really hand the ball off and make, you know, a couple quick reads, really. Like, if you look at their offense this year, that was so boring and just so simple. Like, run the ball 2 times. If it's starting long, probably throw a slant AJ or we looking deep. That's it.
And we're saying this is Jalen Hurts' fault?
Yes, because I mean, first, in a sense, everyone had blamed this on Kevin Pitullo.
So, but here's the thing with Hurts. It's on coaching, it's on Hurts. Because on coaching, it's like you got to basically, again, if he wants to be Michael Jordan and say, all right, y'all got to figure it out. Okay, in a sense, we're going to hold you to that same standard. You mm-hmm. have to figure out how to pass better so we can actually draw more plays.
You're getting paid to do that,
exactly.
Too.
But also in Hurts' sense, it's like, I ain't going to lie, the OCs really hasn't been. Yeah. I mean, Kellen Moore is probably his best OC that he's ever had. Everybody else has been bad.
He's had all these different OCs even going back to college.
Yeah, his rookie year.
I think one of the biggest problems, though, just like you guys are talking about with the offensive coordinator, it is hard to build a relationship when each and every time you're dealing with a new offensive coordinator every year. What the Eagles need to do, they need to get one offensive coordinator and just keep them to allow that offensive coordinator and Jalen Hurts to build upon some sort of relationship, because maybe that's part of the issue that Jalen Hurts is dealing with, the fact that because he has a changing offensive coordinator just about every year, again, not every offensive coordinator runs their office the same way. If that was that's the case, true. It would be boring and too easy to read. So it might be that all these different offensive coordinators are messing up his timing or something like that. So just trying to move him forward, the Eagles just need to get one offensive coordinator and just keep them, because you can't just keep on flipping through all these different offensive coordinators.
I mean, they're getting promoted. Right. They are getting promoted.
They've
been doing
also,
well. They've been getting recruited. Like Kellen Moore was a head coach job. Shane Steichen is a head coaching job. Doug Peterson was a former head coach.
And that is true. But at the same time, though, let's go look at the lines, right? Ben Johnson. Before Ben Johnson got the head coach job with the Bears, he was a Lions offensive coordinator for like 2-3 seasons.
Yeah.
And because of that, we were one of the best offenses. Yep. I'm not saying to hold back people, but at least try to convince them to stay for a little while to stick
like
with the
point.
System.
I like that point. I think it's definitely an organization thing. And to be honest, this information is only out because somebody leaked it in the organization.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So already know this A.J. Brown situation been going on. So it just seems like a bunch of dysfunctional things. And for a team, what, they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
Two years ago.
And it feels like they've just crawling off a cliff.
Not even a year ago.
A year ago.
This year was Seahawks, last year was Eagles, yep.
Yes, and I that's terrible. I think it's tough, though.
It's just, again, like JB said, it's a whole just mix of everything wrong with the Eagles organization. Again, we know how Sirianni is. We know how he carries himself. Again, we just mentioned the different offensive coordinators. It's just an entire mess with the entire organization. It's honestly impressive that they still won a Super Bowl with all of this stuff going on. But
I ain't gonna lie, talent can take you a long way.
And the talent
really took them to the Super Bowl.
But
they locked in for those playoffs for the playoffs.
I mean, let's look at who they really played though. They played the Packers. The Packers had me and you out there at receiver. Everybody else was hurt.
Yeah.
And then they played the Rams at home.
Honestly, they
get a regular environment. The Rams probably beat them.
Hey, but
I don't know
on,
that
bro.
Defense that year was this monster.
And that's playoffs.
Matt Stafford was driving down the field. The only reason he couldn't get it off just because snow was everywhere.
That's playoff football, that is correct.
Bro. You got to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that game. I talked about how weather in the playoffs is kind of annoying to me, and it happened again this year. But continue.
And then in exactly, I think Stafford fumbled maybe twice that game.
A couple times,
yeah, exactly.
Everybody is going towards domes. So.
Exactly. And then you played against
the playoffs though. Like just domes in the playoffs.
It's boring.
Like, don't lose the game.
I disagree. I like the weather.
Y'all don't even want sunlight. I understand you know the snow or the big rainstorms or whatever, but. You're not even letting natural sunlight.
No, I get it's like shady in the snow games. Like was so fun to watch, but that's like a December game, like a November December game. Summer. When it's January,
nah, bro, it's
I want to see who's the
football.
Best.
Come on, it's the Cleveland football. Browns getting a dome is terrible to me. I hate that. It's snow. We're going away from.
We
topic.
Are a little way, but, a little
yeah,
off topic.
And then he played Washington. I mean, they were way better than Washington.
JD5 was balling that game, by the way.
He was balling.
He did the best he could.
He was balling. Yeah. But
Saquon put a foot on his neck. Like Saquon was going
crazy.
They,
like they were better than Washington, and then they got to Kansas City. I mean, we saw what that Kansas City
straight defense.
We saw what that Kansas City offensive line looked like.
I don't even know why they gave that MVP to Jalen Hurts. They could have gave it to anybody.
Yeah, you had to give it. You had to give it to him just because
somebody had a pick six. Somebody had strip sacks. Yeah, like Cooper, that's crazy.
The thing was with the defense, it was a combination of.
It was a complimentary effort.
They didn't cross the 50 the third quarter.
It's kind of like the same thing with the Seahawks this year. Not saying Kenny didn't deserve it, but it's like. You can't point out one defensive player who just had like the star stud of game. Like if you want to give it to somebody, you have to give it to like
play.
Like you have to just give it to the full defense.
But Cooper John had a 14-point swing, man. He did hit a pick six. Like
he did. But I wouldn't give him the Super Bowl MVP for that though. Like,
hey, but hold on then. With you guys talking about that though, let's not forget. Remember in the Rose Bowl, you know,
Oklahoma.
Yeah, Indiana. Whose offensive line was given the offensive player of the game. Remember that? So there was no way that the defense couldn't have just been given.
I mean, but that's kind of different, though. That's like college really.
No, man, I feel that, Josh. I still think it should have gone to somebody on the defense. But
I'm not mad they gave it
to him. For the future of the Eagles, is Jalen Hurts that person? Is Jalen Hurts still your guy for the Eagles?
I think he is. Yeah, I think
He is good enough.
The thing is, you have to really figure, with that type of talent that they have on offense, to me, it really shouldn't be that hard. Like,
correct, yeah. But they're starting to lose it, right?
That offensive line is getting old.
AJ Brown wants out.
He has to get traded this off.
But that's where I feel like they need to start with. You need to just get rid of AJ Brown to kind of get that cancer out of there.
People will pay for AJ Brown.
They will give him
Howie's trying to fleece somebody again. You can't fleece everybody.
You can't just get Jalen Carter with a six pick.
Like I've talked about how Howie needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
What he can get, that's already crazy.
Howie is nuts, but like I just think it's starting to fall apart, and that's starting to, like, Jalen Hurts is not going to be able to do anymore because he's losing his O-line. They're getting old. Mm-hmm. Lots of people have retired. They're injured. They're not consistent because they're just in and out of the lineup. A.J. Brown needs to go, and without A.J. Brown, he's not going to be as good of a quarterback because he's been a safety valve for him.
I think you get another receiver.
As good as A.J. Brown?
Not as good, but like that can
Devontae Smith can be a wide receiver.
Devontae Smith can be your one, and to me, it's like.
But he has two wide receiver ones, and that's what's made him so effective.
But here's the thing, though. I feel like you can kind of.
Pass. They could be fine with just one.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, you
can.
But
Saquon is getting a little bit older.
They're going to have to pass because you can fill the box.
If you can get a competent number two and basically get rid of A.J. Brown, I feel like. In a sense, you get rid of that distraction that's already there. Like, all right, I don't have to force feed you the ball 24/7. Now I can actually run an offense instead of having to give you the ball since you.
But
crying.
We just talked about that. He doesn't like to run an offense. He called four verts twice to win the game.
But that's why I say, if we're gonna do this for you, Hurts, okay, you gotta basically pay us back. You have to get better as a passer and get better as a play caller.
But part of this article is like he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to turn his back to the defense. He doesn't want to get under center. Getting under center is part of the new age.
That's what
offense.
I'm saying. Yeah, like exactly. Lots of teams are running more play action, a lot of boots out of it, and everything.
We're going through a shift. Like the running backs are starting to become more important again, even though no one wants to pay them. Like lots of things are happening. He has to adjust, and he doesn't want to adjust.
And it's like with Saquon, he's a decent receiving back. Like let him go out in the backfield and go do it.
Yeah,
I thought you were about to say decent running back. I got scared.
I was about to say, bro. But yeah, it's just like you guys are saying though. Honestly, it is best for them to just keep Jalen Hurts because. Unless you're going to be able to get like a Patrick Mahomes or something like that.
Wait a minute.
You're saying it's not a.
He's saying it's not
upgrade.
Like an easy. It's not an easy replacement. But.
It's not an easy replacement.
It's really
not. Gonna
not.
Be easy
it's hard to get
again,
a quarterback, bro.
It is, but also to run that type of offense, I think it's like in the same situation with like a.
It is hard to get a good quarterback. But it's not hard to replace an average quarterback.
But I mean, that's kind of where I am.
He's above average.
Here's the thing. He can be above average, but what they ask him to do, I feel like I can get a really good Sam Darnold type of guy.
That's
where
exactly
I'm like, okay,
what I'm saying.
Just since this is what you want to do, okay, I can give me a backup and do this.
Okay.
Correct. I think he's. Shout out Sam Howell. Who was I talking about Sam Howell with the other day?
I feel like your offense. Shout out Sam Howell. Here's the thing. He's decently mobile, so he can make plays out the pocket. And he's got a better arm, so he could probably draw up better plays for him.
Philly is good enough that they can elevate a mediocre quarterback to a good quarterback, which they might be doing already because they have such a talented roster.
I feel like the scapegoat this year is going to be A.J. Brown. If we have another season where they have failures, then we'll talk.
I don't want to talk too much on hypotheticals right now. You know, it's the off season. We can't see anything about it.
Is still a coast.
In other news across the NFL, a major request came out today. Like, it kind of shocked me. Dexter Lawrence has requested a trade. Has he been all pro? I think he's been all pro.
I think he's been all pro maybe once or twice, actually.
Absolutely amazing defensive tackle. He has requested a trade, and he will not be participating in the team's offseason workout program that begins on Tuesday. This happens after two straight offseasons attempting to negotiate a contract, but the team has not been able to get to one. Dexter Lawrence had kind of a disappointing year last year.
He did.
There's still 2 years remaining on his deal. He is on a team-friendly S deal. He's only making $20 million. Chris Jones is making a lot more money.
He's making like 40.
Absolutely.
30
So how do y'all feel about that? Do you feel like the Giants should pay him or should they move on from him?
I mean, so the problem is, go ahead, Josh. I'll let you go.
My fault, Chris. But yeah, honestly, I think that they need to pay him because holistically, he's the whole reason why the Giants' defense was formidable in the first place. Like,
I want to say
him. Him?
Yeah. He was one of the main pieces.
Ron Burns and Thibodeau, and then now you got Abdul.
Burns hasn't been doing enough for me. And then,
Burns went crazy last season.
But at the same time, that rookie that they got. He just hasn't been doing well. Abdul Carter didn't have what everybody thought.
I think
the rest of the Giants defensive line, at the very least, they're individually, all of them are very good. They're eating off of Dexter Lawrence. Dexter Lawrence is the one getting those double teams
because
he's the main guy that people are worried about. Just like how you know Chris Jones is treated. You got a double team Chris Jones, it opens up for the edge rushers. It's the same way with Dexter Lawrence. They double team Dexter Lawrence, but the guys around him are good enough to just get their stuff regardless.
I mean, I agree, but I also think it's a privilege to have a run stopping guy in the middle.
He's a decent pass rusher, too.
And he is a decent pass rusher. Not this season, but the season before, he had nine sacks, which is tough to do from the D-tackle position.
But if you look at this season, I mean, even though it wasn't what he was, I mean, you look kind of like Brian Burns had his most sacks he's ever had in his career, which with almost 17.
Yep, 16 and a half, which probably stemmed from, you know, Dexter Lawrence taking some of that, and then Abdul Carter.
I think defensive tackle is a very underrated position because if you get somebody like Dexter Lawrence or Chris Jones, they can change the trajectory of a game, and they open it so many things up for
filling in those
gaps. Open it up for your pass rusher. They can stop the run by themselves.
Even Ed Oliver, again, we go back to that Ravens game. Ed Oliver made the play to flip the script in that game.
There was no need to bring that up.
Look, I just had to.
There was absolutely no need to bring that up.
He's requesting a trade just because they don't want to pay him. Is that why he does it?
Yeah. Dexter Lawrence is on a very team-friendly deal.
Okay, and I would assume he probably does want to be the highest.
Yeah, he should. He should want that.
I know. I'm saying, okay, so this just shocked me just because I'm like, the Giants, to me, they have something they're building. Like, the defense is, that D-line is a problem.
And they're a big market. They got lots of money.
Exactly. Yeah.
But also, imagine how much y'all can get back for Dexter. And they already have a good D-line. Like, they, I mean, of course, it would
but not
take
at the D-tackle position.
Yeah.
And at D-tackle... Like,
I don't know. Dexter Lawrence is top.
They got the fourth pick this year?
What good is Abdul Carter and Brian Burns if people are just going to run the ball?
Okay, so let's say you do.
They're not gonna, like nobody's going to drop back. They're not going to drop back because they can just run the ball. They don't have to worry about the edge rushers.
I'm not mad.
Let me go look at their cap space.
Matter of fact, I'm probably not mad at that low key then, JB, because they do have a top five pick this year. So. Mm-hmm. You might be able to get a David Bailey, maybe an Arvil Reese if he's available.
Those are not D tackles.
No. Just hear me out.
Any more edge rushers?
No. I'm saying some of these guys they can get moved to like D tackle.
Who?
You don't think Abdul Carter can get moved inside?
No.
Not as a every down, like maybe for like a third down defensive tackle
in the dime.
Sure, not a every down defensive tackle. You need somebody that takes up space.
And they need secondary help. They're supposed to be taking
Caleb Downs in the back end.
They are supposed to be taking Caleb Downs.
They need help in the back end. They had the perfect D-line. That's what they didn't need to worry about. They need secondary help.
You pay them, and then you kind of just, I didn't have them taking Caleb Downs, but.
That's where he's mocked for most
people. I know. I think I had them taking Cornell Tate.
The Giants low-key don't got no money. They have the sixth least amount of cap space.
What's it tied up in?
Is that Daniel Jones contract up?
I don't know.
It has to be. He's been gone a year and
But remember, when they paid him,
it was only like a 4-year deal, though.
That was a lot of money, though.
It was a lot of money.
I mean, they're paying Brian Burns,
Andrew Thomas, Javon Holland.
They still
18.
Paying Okereke.
Paulson Adebo is getting $25 million.
Slade is getting $15 million. Then you know a bunch of random contracts. But
so they just got bad contracts on that roster.
One at least, Paulson Adebo is crazy.
Is Andrew Thomas?
Andrew Thomas is getting $24 million.
Why is he getting that much?
Yeah. Andrew Thomas is good. Pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, so they don't have that much cash for. They might got it. You know, I think they'll figure it out.
I think
considering
they need to pay
him. There's 2 more years left on his contract.
To me, you pay him just because, again, you done let basically who was going to be the face of your franchise walk for nothing, and you see Saquon went to go get a ring.
Yeah.
And then you overpaid Daniel Jones. Even though you let him go, he had probably one of his better careers.
Xavier McKinney.
That's what I'm saying.
Man, that was crazy work.
Listen, to wrap this part up, let's say what's a good landing spot for a sign and trade type of deal for Dexter Lawrence?
For him, or are we saying for like both teams?
For the team, because he just wants the money, it seems like. So he probably doesn't have too much like problem with where he goes. He probably just doesn't want to go to the Saints or some like terrible team like that. So like,
hey bro, you got one more time, bro. Like, really?
I have one more time.
You got one more time.
I got as
man.
Many times as I need.
All right, bro.
Until I feel satisfied.
You got a little bro.
What?
Oh my god.
We maybe like, did the Patriots need D-line? I don't know.
They got Barnmore and
Milton Williams.
Chargers have cap space. Commanders.
That's where I probably want to see him.
Where Commanders?
Yeah,
Commanders?
Yes.
I want to see him. That defense is not good.
Where did the Seahawks get in this space from?
Yeah, I don't know how they still have money.
Number 8.
They didn't sign
Seahawks.
Walker. They didn't sign.
I ain't gonna lie. Team is really, really young when you look at them. That team is young.
They're gonna have to save that money.
What they could do with Dexter Lawrence.
That's just gonna be unfair.
If you're the Seahawks, do you want to capitalize on it? On again having all your people on rookie contracts right now and try to get 1-2 more Super Bowls?
Nah, I'd rather you. I think they stay away from that.
Deal for the Seahawks might be crazy.
They could go back to back next year.
They wouldn't be paying him.
It's done with the Chiefs. We're with the Seahawks now. Like that's crazy,
bro. I think they keep what you got, honestly, to me.
Well, we're going to save that speculation for another day. This is the last offseason move we're going to talk about. The Jacksonville Jaguars, shout out a lot, re-signed Trayvon Walker.
Great move.
$110 million contract, 4 years.
It was a great move.
All the way around?
Yeah, it was a necessary move.
Really? You need to keep that guy.
He is now at a $27.5 million yearly annual value. That's above somebody like Nick Benito for comparison.
Yeah, that's about in that tier where he's – I think Nick's probably better, but that's about in that tier.
They do different things, too.
Do you guys want to hear his stats?
More like
And Walker's more like set the edge, run stopper. You know, that's what you're looking for in Trayvon Walker.
Okay.
Benito's more
– 3.5 sacks, 38 total tackles. That was his stats for this year.
He wasn't that good.
But he's not a pass rusher, correct?
He's for the run game, but
how many TFLs?
8.
Pretty solid.
I had more than that my senior year in high school.
Probably going against
release the tape. Hey, you gotta see it, Wes.
The tape needs to stay in the vault, but I might pull up the stats.
Draw that huddle, man.
No, huddle is retired, guys. It's done. But now we have to start our off-season series about the NFL draft. Reload or rebuild.
Panthers.
Guys. Fellas, we are on the Panthers. Who do you guys have?
What pick is this?
19.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Panthers.
Let's go look.
They just paid. Oh, man. Okay.
They paid. Mm-hmm.
They signed some good people, right? They got Devin Lloyd. Devin Lloyd was a great pickup.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they get a D lineman, too? They got Jalen Phillips,
Yeah, Jalen Phillips. Okay. Even though we all agreed that was way over.
But the Panthers defense is going to be nice.
Yeah,
they got Rico. Did they get Rico back? Or am I?
No, Rico's gone.
I forgot. Yeah. I forgot.
Is Rico with the Steelers?
I think he did go to the Steelers. You're right.
You know what? I can't get them getting another wide receiver. They drafted wide receivers again.
It might be O-line or...
Y'all mind if I start this off?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right. I won't lie to you. I'm looking right now. The only thing I can really see the Panthers going after is maybe safety.
Interesting.
Safety.
Okay. I can see them going secondary.
Apparently, safety-wise, they think mock drafts have been picking up Emmanuel McNeil Warren from Toledo. I watched some film with him. He's a pretty solid safety. I mean, wouldn't be too bad of a pick for the young Panthers.
First-round pick, solid safety.
I could see them going secondary, maybe. But I already have the Oregon safety off the board, I believe.
Yeah, because we had him going to the Vikings.
I think I'm going to go with my pick.
Who you got, Chris?
I think I'm going with Kenyon Sadiq.
Is that off your board?
He's still on the board for you?
Yeah, he was still on the board.
Yeah, and on, that's who the mock drafts have.
That is who the mock drafts have.
I think I am going to take it. I think it just... You give Bryce another
piece.
Yeah, give Bryce another target along with T-Mac and let the offense just keep flourishing.
And Sadiq can block
year by year.
Sadiq can block.
Yeah, he's
too.
A pretty good blocker.
I love that pick if he's still there.
Yeah, if he's still there, great.
He was there for me because I didn't have him going. I think the only person that had him really going that high, I think, was Trent. I think he had him going to the Bucks or something. Or like the Chiefs.
No. Me and Trent had him going to the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah, y'all did have him going at like 12 or 11.
But they brought back Travis Kelce for three more years.
But they like
a replacement. They still need a replacement.
Yeah.
Travis will probably retire in the next one or two anyway.
Yeah, this is for stats. His current career is now for like, let me get that catch record, let me get that receiving record.
Okay, so I think Kenyon, who you going with?
I'm going to have him go O-line.
Okay.
You can never
like
have
that.
Too many O-line. They could go interior.
Okay.
There is Emmanuel Pregnon from Oregon.
He was very solid.
Yeah, I don't think I had.
I don't think none of us had him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm having. Yeah, you can go there.
Okay. So,
all right. Everybody picking.
I'm gonna go with Sadiq. I think.
Okay.
Just build up the offense again. Like Chris said, give Bryce Young another weapon.
Okay. What about the Cowboys at 20?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad I say this guy. My favorite player in the draft. They're going Avion right here.
Ooh. Avion just got hurt.
I'm still taking that chance. It's
hold on. He hurt his hamstring at his party?
Yes.
I'm still taking that chance though. Just because I on tape what I've seen. Him and McCoy, even though they've gotten injured, what I've seen on tape, I'm good leaving them guys man-to-man with a lot of receivers. I'm fine with that.
McCoy is nasty.
I'm fine with one of them two guarding.
Do I have
I'm
McCoy? I don't think I have him go. I'm going to go have them take a McCoy.
Oh, actually. You're taking, okay.
Hey, same here. I have McCoy going here.
I have McCoy going a little bit lower.
I think he just had a crazy pro day or something like that.
He did.
Yeah, McCoy was
I've been watching Avion for years, bro.
No,
he is...
Yeah,
he went to school in Georgia. I saw him play in high school. He's a dog.
He is.
And there's already
tough.
Precedent with his brother. His brother is nice.
AJ is nice. And now
Dabo knew he was.
And now
special,
for the Cowboys, because I had them taking Delaney too with their first one. Now you have two solid DBs, and you just keep building on that defense in the offseason with the money.
Quentin Williams too.
Yeah, like Quentin Williams. They still got Kenny Clark. Because linebackers are pretty okay, like overshown.
Yeah, holistically, all they need to really do is solidify the secondary. Like, it was about time they got rid of Diggs.
Javon Diggs, gone.
Diggs was never good, man.
What do you mean never good?
He had two good seasons. It was only one good season.
Yeah, because it was pick or touchdown.
Him and Deron Bland were just pick or touchdown.
Next season he was there, bro, he was solid. He just didn't have the picks. He didn't have to have that many picks that year.
I mean, he wasn't getting picks, which means they're usually getting completions.
No, he actually was shutting down. He changed it. Instead of me giving up 1,000 yards to get 12 picks, let me get like 4 or 5 and not give up like 500 yards.
Listen, the Steelers at 21, who y'all got?
This going to shock a lot of people.
You know what? This is where I know you guys might say it's crazy, but
no,
holistically.
Me and you might have the same person.
I don't think anything's crazy for the Steelers.
I think this is the time where the Steelers try again with drafting a quarterback and go after Ty Simpson.
Thank you. You know ball.
Yeah,
they haven't even given Will Howard a chance.
That's exactly my
point. Will Howard deserves a chance.
Here we go with Ohio State stuff.
It's not even, bro. He's like 6'5", good arm strength.
Let me tell you something.
Quarterback.
Let me tell you something.
He deserves a chance.
No. I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, though.
Way more upside.
Exactly. Ty Simpson does have more upside, and at the same time, it's just like Wes was talking about last week. Like
way
how,
more upside? Are we serious?
I'm taking, bro.
No, like you talked about last week, though, Wes, like how a lot of analytics have been talking about how his footwork, how he gets his throws off a little
very
quicker,
accurate.
Probably something like that. Like, you got to look at this stuff. And the Steelers desperately need a quarterback. Like, defensively, they don't need anything else. We can all agree to that.
Well,
that defense getting kind of old, though.
It is getting old. Cam Hayward got grays. You can see through his face mask.
They're getting old.
They're paying that defense a lot of money,
They are. I think they gave Joey a lot of money, too.
The thing I want to the way I'm advocating for Will Howard is because, one, we haven't seen it. Two, he has all the physicals. That's what the GMs look at. Three, as an AFC North fan, like I'm a fan of the Ravens, you hear a lot about the other teams. I hear a lot about the Steelers. The fans want Will Howard to get a chance.
They do, but I think you still go tied.
And I feel like that's crowded, bro. Because even Aaron Rodgers is still like deciding somewhere off in his cave.
I don't think it's not. I thought he was gone.
No, he has not officially retired. The Steelers haven't announced like Will Howard is their quarterback. Like it's a whole thing. Like he's still off in the woods deciding something.
But you can't count on Aaron Rodgers.
You can't count.
That's exactly why I say you go.
Let's say he comes back. Now you got Aaron Rodgers, Will Howard, Ty Simpson.
My thing with the Steelers, I was in the boat where like the Steelers should have blown it up, but obviously they're not blowing it up. What do you really blow up? They just traded TJ.
Trade TJ,
get Jalen Ramsey out of there, you know, like
Ramsey
blow it up.
Was never supposed to be there in the first place.
But they traded for Michael Pittman, so they're, you know.
They're not blowing it up.
So them and DK.
But also, not to cut you off, Q, but you can get Simpson in the second round for sure.
Nah, I don't know if you can. I don't know if you can. Well,
this is not a QB heavy draft. Well, no, there's not a lot of needs.
Jump up.
But think about,
time,
but what if the Browns come back up and draft Simpson?
If the Browns draft a quarterback in the first four rounds,
what if Miami or Arizona jumps back up to Miami
getting a quarterback after signing Malik Willis to a 3-year deal is nuts in the first round.
Arizona,
it seems like they're rocking out with Jacoby dead stats. Brissett.
You can't.
Empty calories?
You can't have that for
300 yards in the L. What are you talking about?
For 3 more years.
Not 3 more years.
Not with Marvin Harrison.
But they're going to be they've made no moves in the offseason. Have you noticed that? They've only traded away Kyler. They're up in this tank. They're going to get that high pick and they're going to take Arch. They're not going to reach for Ty Simpson and be mid this season.
Here's the thing.
What are we talking about? We should talk about the Browns.
The Cardinals.
Oh, the Cardinals. Okay.
No, like you said with the Steelers. Even if A-Rod does come back, I kind of see it like what the Raiders are doing. Go ahead and play your little 1 year. And then go. Now we have a battle. Whichever one works, we'll go with that one.
Also, this is the time where you, as a GM, you pick up the phone and say, "Hey, is Ty Simpson on anybody's radar?" Like, because I don't want to. I would rather take, you know, maybe an O lineman, maybe a this, maybe
I don't
a
think
that.
He's really showcased. It's not really been that much talk about him when it comes to the draft. I think Steelers has probably been like his main spot if it was like a first round.
That's why I'm saying I don't think he's going to go in his first round. And if the Steelers GM picks up the phone, it's like, can we get him in the second? And everyone says, yes, you wait.
Who definitely don't take him.
Mock drafts are saying the guy from Oregon, Emmanuel Pregnom, or O-line. Or they need like just O-line. Yeah, they need an O-line. Yeah. They need a younger, get younger on defense. So if they want to take,
I feel like you could go Peter Woods. Then
you could get Peter Woods. Yeah. You can get Caleb Banks out of Florida.
Yeah,
I don't know how I feel about Peter Woods.
Everybody already has Keanu Benton too. Like it's
they're in a weird spot, and I definitely wouldn't take Ty Simpson in the first round.
Like the Steelers, that's what they need to blow it up. They're like good or average at every position except quarterback.
I understand you, the Steelers. You gotta keep up that record or whatever. You know,
not no more. He's gone now. So
he is gone.
They could really lose and be okay now.
Well, fellas, we've been making the people wait for it because it's the most topical thing. NCAA basketball. A few things have happened.
I'm so mad.
First thing, before we even get to the Final Four, before we even get to the national championship, fellas, UNC hired a new coach, an NBA champion, Mike Malone.
That is surprising.
I like it for
UNC, but I'm surprised he didn't get another NBA job.
He probably
before
had
his
a chance to.
He probably could have.
I think the Bulls were looking at him, and
I thought the Knicks would sign him last year.
I thought that.
I mean, it's good for UNC. He's really won, so he's going to bring a winning culture into that locker room a little
bit.
They got Michael Malone and Bill Belichick down there.
Stack that gudgeon room.
The only thing is, how is he going to be able to navigate the transfer portal and NIL?
Yeah,
he's been in the NBA pretty much his whole coaching career.
I think he'll figure it out.
He's been in the NBA for a long time.
Holistically.
He's not Bill Belichick where, like, he's just this standard and is like, he'll figure that out, honestly.
I mean, but do you at a place like UNC, do you have time to figure it out?
I think knowing his background, they'll give him, if he doesn't do good this year, I think they'll, you know, be kind of easy on him.
Because he's been coaching in the NBA since 2001.
Yeah, we know.
He's not really. I mean, he got his.
That's like Chris age, man.
He got a couple starts in college, but.
First off, you gonna stop doing that, bro.
Man, we got some old people in here, man.
I'm not old.
What you talking about, bro?
I think it'll work out for UNC, man.
And he and Michael Malone's when he's really, coached with really Denver, it's like he had to sit through a few years where like you just gotta play the waiting game till it's your time.
I think one of the biggest things though that we are overlooking a little bit, but yeah, basically, I think yes, this was a great hire, but at the same time, I don't know if Mike Malone really has a long time to get adjusted. I think right now, because let's just get the cat out of the bag, right? Duke and UNC are big rivals. Right now, Duke is rocking with their head coach. I think UNC is just trying to keep up with Duke. I think they're going to tell Mike Malone, like, look, we are trying to continue to be contenders. Like, we want to make it far into the tournament, and we want to beat our rival Duke. I think that Malone is definitely going to need to hit the ground running within like year or two. If things aren't going well, we can see him out the door.
I low key disagree. I don't think they're trying to keep up with Duke, honestly. I feel like,
but
Duke,
like
Duke is kind of set himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, they beat Duke.
But it's one of those things like if you're UNC, like those are the two most important things are national championship and beating Duke. And it's one of those things like, you know, something has to be your priority because UNC they haven't gotten they did go to national championship back in 2022, but it's been pretty much been down. Yeah, that and it's been downhill since then. And it's
early
one of those
exits.
Things, like,
yeah,
you got to have something to hang your hat on. Either.
I think you just need a change. Honestly, I think this is probably the change that you need. You need a guy who, all right, I've won at the highest level. I've kind of built the team that I know can contend and win. So I feel like
my only thing is like, yes, he's a great basketball coach, but again, college. Especially in the Big 2-6, college and professional are completely different. Completely different realms. You have to navigate so much other stuff in college than you do in the NBA.
Yeah, for sure.
And he had Jokic, which is a big help when you're trying to win an NBA championship.
But he helped develop Jokic.
But that's what I'm saying. And the way he built that team, like, it was good. Like, he's shown that he can build around, like, one great player if he needs to.
You don't get a decade to develop somebody, JB, in college.
Mm. That's true, but the Nuggets teams weren't anything like crazy.
And they were a team that developed into each other. Like Murray, Jokic, they were there for a long time. They just brought in Aaron Gordon. He was the final piece. Yeah. And in college, you literally don't get that time to build anymore. I'm gonna bring him up, but look at Kansas. Kansas' entire front court just hit the transfer portal, including another one of their guards. There's no. If you have people transferring from a program like Kansas, there's not going to be any time for anybody to keep their players around.
But
like
are we not going to have – will we not have this conversation about anybody that's making the transition from professional to college?
I guess we would.
Yeah, we would.
I just kind of feel like we have to go based off what we've seen, and Mike Malone is a really good coach.
Yeah.
That's good.
I think he'll be good at UNC.
Good hire for UNC. Just Kenny the Jet Smith, leave Malone for a little while. Okay, so we're going to recap the Final Four. We're going to start off with Illinois versus UConn. Close game for the most part of it.
I know ball. That's all I'm going to say. I picked
who called? I know lots
of
people.
I said UConn.
I called UConn.
I also had UConn.
I had UConn. I think Q's the only one who had Illinois.
Dan Hurley, I don't know if I'll ever bet against you again. Well, I'm going to bet against you tonight. But after
I don't know, man.
After tonight, I'm not betting against Dan Hurley.
Where are the playmakers watching the game at is the real question.
What time the game come on?
8:30.
8:50.
8:50.
The comfortability of my home. Yeah. I got a 9 a.m. the next day.
You know what? I do too. I don't know what's wrong with you.
I can't afford the house I'm trying to eat.
I'll come find them. I might be at college town.
Okay, but what do we think about the beating that Arizona got?
This was so shocking.
My champion.
The only person that said Michigan was going to win was Lyle.
Indeed.
Yes.
But you know what? I think Michigan's win attests to more so how good of a coach Dusty May is because he saw that earlier on Arizona had the size and they have the strength to match up with them. So all he did, he had the guard of Michigan to just simply have lobs come off the backboard. So his shooting percentage didn't look the greatest, but that was mainly because he was throwing lobs off the backboard beautifully for Yaxel Lindenborg and the rest of the team to just get easy layups and dunks off of. So Dusty May's coaching has helped out this team a lot. And then at the same time, it's just the unselfishness of that team in general. Like, Michigan gels well. They pass the ball around. They shoot the ball well. It was just a well-executed win for Michigan.
I think with Michigan, this to me, when I watched this game, I'm like, they kind of did what Arizona been doing to everybody else. Mm-hmm. They just punched them straight up in the mouth.
And did not let go.
From the jump.
And did not let go, basically.
16-5.
Exactly. Yeah, Arizona, they were doing that to everybody in the tournament. And mm-hmm. Michigan, they just said, we're going to hit back. And to me, Arizona just couldn't recover.
Not at all.
Yeah, something I liked that I heard is, like, Arizona's been out in front for forever. Like, they don't know how to come back. Mm-hmm. And so when they – it started off with just great defense, like, in the first half. At one point it was 7-1. It was 16-5. Like it was just defense. It was just good defense at the beginning. And once you get a lead, like Arizona just didn't know how to come back.
Now, one thing to look at though, because like I am happy that Michigan got the win. Now, of course, with Yaxel Lindenborg, if I remember correctly, it was sometime near the end of the first half where he had to go to a locker room real quick.
Yep.
He's going to be able
to
play.
Yeah.
But still, it's an MCL. So you got to be careful with that. Like,
he'll be fine.
He's good to play, but you can't land awkwardly. Like, any awkward landing can really muff up the MCL.
He'll be fine. Who are we picking to win, though, tonight?
Let's hear it. Who are we picking?
I'm going Michigan.
UConn?
I've been banking. I've been banging on experience this whole time, and I think experience is going to get UConn another championship.
JB?
I'm going UConn, bro. I refuse to pick Michigan.
Y'all want to bet anything on it?
No.
Yes, we should.
A dollar,
Josh?
I'm not.
A dollar.
I won't lie.
I'm not. I gotta.
I think this is going to go to UConn. I think a lot of this is going to come down to UConn's experience and then the coaching ability of Hurley.
Dan Hurley's
going
to outcoach.
I think Hurley's going to outcoach Dusty May.
That man is a lunatic, by the way.
Yes,
he's a lunatic.
That's good though.
That's the crazy thing.
Yeah, I want my coach to be crazy.
Like, I'm looking at all the old stuff of him in practice. I'm like, bro, this guy is crazy. Yeah, but.
And I think a big X factor is going to be Elliot Cadeau. He had a great game against Arizona.
Lock called that again, bro. That's crazy, bro.
Lock really called
Elliot Cadeau masterclass and Michigan win. That's crazy.
And I think we're going to have to see that. We're going to have to see that again from him if Michigan wants to win tonight. But I think if they can punch UConn in the mouth like they did Arizona, I think it's not going to be an easy game for Michigan.
Now, Michigan's bench did come to play last game. They had 25 off the bench.
I don't want to overlook that. Them beating Arizona that bad is crazy.
Yeah.
It's
a team firing on all cylinders the entire tournament.
That was crazy, but
we look at the games in their tournament. There's just even the second round game against St. Louis, that St. Louis team beat the brakes off of Georgia, and then Michigan just beats the brakes off of St. Louis. They beat Alabama by 13. They beat Tennessee by 33.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't struggled.
They've been locked in all year, though. Like, they've gelled perfectly together. And, you know, when you have a team that gels well, and then on top of that, you have some older guys, like, think you're going to make it far because you have guys with experience on the team who are gelling well, so they know how to they know where people's hot spots are, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to set screens. They know how to play aggressive defense. And that's just what we've seen from Michigan all year.
You know, this is the first national championship in a minute that I haven't been locked in, like, easily convinced one team's going to win. Last year, I knew it was going to be Florida. Year before, I knew it was going to be UConn.
No, you didn't.
I had Florida winning in my bracket. We could pull up the social media post.
Okay, that's one thing, but saying you just knew Florida was going to win.
I'm the only person that knew Florida was going to win.
I had Houston.
I'm the only person that knew
Florida was my championship. I stuck to my bracket.
I'm the only person that knew Florida was going to win, man.
Houston was up for the entire game, and Florida literally didn't win.
I knew Florida had it.
I knew Florida was going to win.
I'm pulling it up. But
we can't do this. No.
Need facts. Need receipts.
Because when Houston was up by 10 plus in that second half, I know it was looking.
Man, I knew I was good. I'm like, man, we got Walter Clayton Jr. Bro, we good.
I might rewatch that. That was amazing.
I watched that almost every day, man.
Okay,
all right. No, that's real.
And that's our cue to move on to the NBA, man.
NBA?
What I really want to talk about, because the season is almost over, the play-in is about to start next week.
Crazy.
End of season awards.
Yes.
We talked about it a few weeks back. Maybe it was a couple months ago. and like who we had, but now it's just about deciding who's gonna win who. And I want to
decide it yet.
For some of these awards,
the Playmakers official bracket, man. I mean,
okay, yeah,
so this is
whatever it's called.
Right, we might even make a graphic.
Let's please agree on everything.
When's the last time we had a graphic?
I don't know, man. It's because
March Madness. Wait, no, not March Madness.
We didn't do March
Madness.
The NFL.
It's because
Boss Man Jalen Scott is always busy these days, and he makes things happen.
Free Jay Scott, bro.
And Terrell did.
And Terrell, yeah, dipped on us.
He did, man. I don't know. I guess he was here for Jeff.
Who's ever editing is going to have any time, bro?
But,
we can't keep this?
No.
Oh.
Defensive player of the year. What are we doing?
Wimby.
Wimby.
Not a question.
And if anybody doesn't vote Wimby, oh, I was going to say something crazy. take away their vote because it should be unanimous.
Yeah.
It should be unanimous.
Sure. I agree completely. Next one up, Sixth Man of the Year.
Jaime Jaquez.
See, this is the only award I just don't know or don't really care.
And it's between him and Keldon
and
Johnson.
And Sixth Man of the Year, you know, people, we saw what happened with Naz Reid, you know.
Yeah.
Reid is not Sixth Man.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going Jaime Jaquez.
I'm fine with Jaime Jaquez.
I mean, Peyton Pritchard.
I can't call him.
No, he's been starting.
That's the thing. It's like, yes,
if I don't go, I'm not going Keldon Johnson, me personally. I don't like the whole advocating for it, and then you jump up in the odds. I'm not a fan. I like A.J. Mitchell, but the Thunder are also super deep, so I don't know.
We're going to
go Cason Wallace if you want to.
I'll go I guess. I don't really care. I ain't gonna lie.
Is Cason a true sixth man, though?
I would say he's a true sixth man.
You know me, Heat fan. Jaime Jaquez all the way.
We'll go
Jaime Jaquez. That's
fine. That's fine.
What do you mean, of course? Like, it's Jaime Jaquez, man. And he's number one in the rankings.
Keldon Johnson is one in the rankings, by the way.
Who's my bad?
Yeah.
Looking at an old list, maybe. I don't know.
It's my fault.
Most improved player.
Dylan Brooks.
Interesting.
Denny Avia.
Honestly.
Jalen Duren. I was way too early.
I like that, though.
Like, 2 years ago, I said he was going to win most improved, and he didn't. So, I'm going Jalen Duren this year.
You're going Dylan Brooks.
I'll tap Denny Avia.
You said Denny. I go Ryan Rollins.
Dang, we all got somebody different.
I think Ryan Rollins literally embodies what most improved should be.
He probably, you know what? That is a good thing.
That's real.
I think Dylan Brooks.
Almost out of the league.
Dylan Brooks should.
Did anyone say Nikhil Alexander Walker?
He deserves love, too.
Mm-hmm. I think, honestly, with him, the only reason I want to give him that is just because we've seen this in the playoffs where we like, okay, if he goes to a different team,
like that potential
he's,
is
going, like, he's going to be this. That's why I ain't picked Jalen Duren, because I'm like,
it
I
should
see
be,
the potential.
How do you have Dylan Brooks over Nikhil Alexander Walker?
Because Dylan Brooks, like, when he got to Phoenix, I don't think we expect him to play at dang near all-star level.
But you can say that about everybody on this list.
Ryan Rollins wasn't like
all-star
level.
You're right.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's why I chose Dylan Brooks. I'm like, you played at an all-star level when you were basically like a role player in
But no, I wouldn't even say that about Dylan Brooks, though. I think it's just the perception that we had of him. You know, with what he said to Brian and how things ended in Memphis, I think that's
he definitely
that's really
added
what,
a bag though when he got to Phoenix.
I think that's why I said I'll go with Dylan Brooks instead.
Who you got, Wes? Did you say who you got?
Who did I say? I think I said Jalen Duren.
Okay,
Jalen Duren.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah, he might be All NBA.
Bounds, did you say who you got?
He said.
Who did he say?
I said Avia.
Yeah, he said Denny.
Oh, that's not bad.
Denny kind of sucks. Like, I like the Trailblazers like a lot, but like watching him play, I'm very interested to see how it is when he's not the guy. When Dame comes back, when hopefully they do something else in the offseason. Like, I feel like it's a lot of a usage thing.
There's a couple crazy people I feel like
crazy
that about.
And he has a lot of
back when Domantas Sabonis was good, that's how I felt about him.
What you mean back when he was good?
He's still good.
Back when he was good. Okay, we're doing this in like how controversial these could be. Rookie of the Year is a tough one. Who do you think? Remember when everyone thought it was VJ Edgecombe?
For the first 15 games, it was special. Now
I'm really 50.
I'm going
Cooper Flagg. Okay. Yes. Khan can able to break records.
Here's the thing. Khan was leading him until Coop started just going crazy.
If Khan or Flagg went, it doesn't really matter to me. It's going to be one of those two, though.
Bro, Khan was starting to catch up, so Cooper dropped 50, bro.
Yeah, I think Cooper's like, y'all remember who I am, bro?
He showed
like,
him his levels to this, yeah.
I think Khan Knipple's. I think I'm going to go Khan Knipple.
Okay. I like Khan, but I gotta give it to Coop, man, because mm-hmm. Khan's been consistent. Khan's been shooting the three. He's been shooting the three like crazy,
and
man.
And that's why I'm saying rookie of the year. Like, I know Cooper Flagg's been balling, of course, but Khan Kanipa was literally contributed to them being a playoff team probably this year. So,
yeah. Shoot, right? I think I might go Coop still.
And he broke Kemba's record for most threes. Like, that's crazy work.
Remember, he was on pace to bring
Keegan Murray?
Keegan Murray's record? Is he still on pace? He's not on pace to break that anymore.
No, he had to broken it, right? No?
No, Keegan had 300 or something.
Yeah, Keegan.
He's only at like 270 right now, I think. And there's only a week left. How many games could they possibly have?
They have three games left.
Three games? Nah, he doesn't have it.
Con Knipple has it.
Yeah, he broke it. Yeah,
he broke it? What's the record? Oh, Keegan Murray had 300 in the year he wasn't a rookie. What's the record?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know what the record is, but he passed it in February, so he been passed.
Oh my
it's
god!
Saying, it's saying he passed it by 60.
Oh my god! Yeah, yeah. Hey,
Con was crazy.
Oh,
yeah,
Con, man.
Con and Cooper going back and forth.
Keegan Murray had 206. Con Knipple has 265.
Oh, it was 206. I thought it was 306.
265 as a rookie, bro. That's just, yeah. I go Con. I ain't gonna lie, bro.
Bro,
yeah, it's gonna be Con.
You could be happy with either one, though.
Yeah,
it doesn't really matter to me.
I'm still going Coop.
You know, the media might do it because it's, you know, Cooper Flagg.
I'm still going Coop.
Coop absolutely killed the Lakers last night. By the way, it was
Coach of the Year.
Joe Mazzulla.
Okay.
Who else?
You can't go. I wouldn't be mad. Do not say that. Get the name right, Josh. Wait, here's my problem though.
We gotta look at Coach of the Year. It's about how much impact has that coach had on that team. That Pistons team.
They had expectations.
That Pistons team is all because of the players. I'm sorry.
Cause they've been winning without
Kane. But
he made
them like that. No, he didn't make them like that.
That was kind of crazy. But their team isn't.
They're a playoff team last year.
When I look at the Celtics, I'm like, yes, Jaylen Brown's done his thing, but I'm like, that's Joe Mazzulla
and the amount of turnaround that the Celtics roster had too. They got rid of Jrue Holiday. They even traded Anthony Simons.
Yeah.
What about Charles Lee out of the Hornets?
Here's the thing: if he would have had a full season like this, then it probably would have been him.
I'm really between Joe Mazzulla and Mitch Johnson.
Ooh, okay. Mitch Johnson.
Only thing with Mitch Johnson is like.
Their team is
my same thing,
but it's their
like
first
that's
full season of Wimby.
It is, but I think it's just so impressive to be such a young team and go do that. But I'm gonna go Joe Mazzulla. I think Joe Mazzulla is actually just the best coach in the league, like straight up.
Best?
Wow.
Other than Spo, out of respect, but
shout out Spo, man.
I'm sticking with my guy.
Okay, last one before we get to the big one. Clutch Player of the Year. This one's an easy one.
Shay.
It's Shea, bro.
It's Shea.
It's pretty easy, bro. He was like 100% in the fourth quarter for like 2 weeks.
That's right.
It's ridiculous.
Go ahead, bro. All
right. MVP.
Wimby.
We got a bunch of takes.
Goodness gracious, bro.
We did this in the promo video, so, you know, make sure to tune into that.
It's,
you know,
Shea
905
not,
The Flavor
it's
Sports.
Shea and it's not
on
close.
Instagram.
Saying it's not close.
It's not close anymore.
What you mean it's not close?
Okay, I'll explain why. Luka, he's not going to be eligible, so
he missed two games because the birth of his kid.
They're going to give it to him, bro. They're going to give him the eligibility.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
how many games
Luka's not going to be eligible.
Jokic's
not going to be eligible. And it's like,
we have four games.
I don't think Jokic is eligible.
Bro,
he got hurt, he's been balling, boy. He's been balling, but like, again, with Jokic, they kind of. I feel bad for him because they kind of just doing that like, all right, we've seen this 100 times, bro. Like, you're going to do something different. But I'm like, a 30-point triple-double is not just normal, though.
Yeah.
If they had thoughts like that, Jokic wouldn't have as many MVPs. So I think that's not affecting his stock right now.
I think
I was between Luka and Shea. I mean, obviously Luka got hurt. But after what, the Lakers absolutely just.
Come on. Luka's played 64 games.
He's going to be eligible because he missed two games for his children.
They don't care about that.
They do care about that. They said that inside the NBA.
Is there a minutes thing for like
20 minutes?
20
minutes.
20 minutes.
You think he's just going to check in?
Yeah, I was going to say, you can check in. Okay.
I still think it's Shea.
Shea is still the best player on the best team in the league, so I got to go Shea.
That's not a good argument anymore. Russell Westbrook won with the 6th seed.
Here's
the problem with it.
Jokic is the one multiple with like the 3rd or 4th seed.
But that's important. He did. Jokic won as a 5 seed.
I remember, but you gotta look at narrative with it. Westbrook is, all right, KD left, what are you going to do? You still let this team to be a playoff team, and you average a triple. We haven't seen a point guard average a triple-double.
Shea don't got the narrative right now. If anything, he'd have the least case if we talk about narrative.
Narrative, people hate Shea.
I know. I'm saying back, but I'm saying you brought up Jokic, and I'm like, they had the narratives to.
But he
back
said
them.
Best player, best team, and those two people don't qualify.
That's, but now that's what they're doing now more. Is
Embiid
best
didn't
player,
qualify. Lots of people didn't qualify for
that's
best
fair.
Player to team.
That's fair.
Embiid didn't qualify. Jokic but didn't Embiid qualify just, a couple years. Westbrook didn't qualify.
Which year did Jokic not, like, his recent one, he was
I don't think
the
his,
one seed.
No, his recent one, I don't think he was the number one seed.
He was the number one seed. I remember
no,
that.
He was not.
No, well, he was second, but it was the same record as us.
Yeah.
He was second. It was the same record
I don't remember
as
the
us.
Nuggets ever being a one seed. Now that I think about it. Or am I tripping?
Maybe
the year they won the chip.
Yeah,
the year they won, because they played Minnesota.
They played Minnesota
first round.
Okay.
He was the second seed when he won his last MVP.
Shout out to Wimby, though.
Wimby is a great case because, you
look,
know,
I
of his defensive
I don't care about the technicalities. Give it to Luka. He's at 64 games.
And Luka got robbed from one, I'm not going to lie.
Which one did he get robbed
Jokic's,
for?
Jokic's third one?
That's a fair point.
I don't think he got robbed. No. Shea got robbed of that one.
Yeah, I'll go Luka, too, actually. I know I said it.
Wow.
Shea, but if Luka is eligible, I go Luka.
I'm going Shea.
Okay, and Josh is going Wemby?
Yep.
And Q, you're still Jokic? Or not Jokic, Luka? Yeah, Luka. Okay.
And Q been saying that for months.
Yes.
Hey, man, I was on that wave too. Now we got to talk about the play-in. Who's going to make it out? We got the 9-10 matchup in the West, Trailblazers, Warriors.
I think
the West
is locked in.
In a one-game scenario.
Yeah.
Give me the Warriors.
Oh, we got some disagreement. Curry's back.
Yeah,
Curry.
I was going to say Steph Curry.
Stephen Curry
in a one-game scenario.
Give me the Blazers.
That sounds like a 45.
We have seen, but here's my thing, though. The Warriors are going to be probably on the road, most likely. We've seen what they look like on the road in the play-in.
No, they're locked into the 10 seed. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So, give me Portland at home.
Okay.
It could be Portland or the Clippers that play them. I would go any team that's not. The Warriors suck. I ain't going to lie.
They do.
So are we going game by game?
Steph Curry
going to be 7-8?
We're going to go get my game.
Yeah, so give me Portland.
Okay.
We should just do who's 7-8.
Phoenix and Clippers.
Give me Clippers. Give me Phoenix.
Clippers.
Give me Phoenix.
Phoenix?
I'm going
Kawhi.
Clippers.
One game?
I can't trust.
I'm going
Kawhi's a scary Kawhi.
That might be the first team, bro.
Kawhi in a one-game scenario.
Here's the thing, though. When Kawhi plays these long regular season, we always see him break down when it gets to these playoff-type moments.
Cap, Kawhi's one of the best playoff performers ever.
Yeah, but he breaks down.
I said break down.
Yeah, we're talking about the play-in, though.
His play, like his body.
Like his body breaks down.
Oh, no, he's been straight, bro. He's been all right.
For one game, he's good. Not a series. For one game.
But we're talking about one game.
Give me Phoenix. I'll take Phoenix.
Okay. 9-10 seed in the East. Magic, Heat.
Give me the Magic. Not even close.
What are we doing?
Not even close.
What are we doing?
Both of these teams are garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, bro, 83. How are we horrible?
You right.
83.
I go Bam.
Norman Powell. Norman Powell legacy game.
Give me Orlando.
I know we can't really like talk about it because Trim always be, you know. But the Magic have actually had an extremely disappointing
year. Yes.
I had them finishing like top five before the season started.
Fran's still injured, right, too?
I don't know who's injured, bro. I haven't watched them in like a month.
I mean,
yeah, give me.
Franz is still injured.
Yeah, Franz. Paolo is okay, you know, up and down.
Yeah, let's go Miami, man.
I'm going Orlando.
Josh?
Let's go Heat.
You already know I'm going Miami.
Goodness gracious.
Raptors, Hornets, 7-8.
Hornets.
I might go Charlotte.
Let's go Hornets, man.
Let's go Hornets. Okay. Well, let's say, because you got outvoted, Chris.
Oh,
Hornets, Heat, who y'all got?
Hornets.
In a one game.
You got some experience on
your side.
It would be the Raptors playing.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Hornets won.
Oh, you're so right.
So
it would be the Raptors.
It would be Raptors.
Yeah, Raptors versus Heat.
Why Scotty Barnes pop up?
Give me the Raptors.
Scotty Barnes.
Raptors beat us. I could never say that, man. Give me the Heat.
The Raptors are going to.
Brandon Ingram.
Who's going to guard Bam, though?
Listen. Y'all play the Raptors for y'all next two games. We'll see how that ends.
Okay. Who's going to guard Bam is all I
got
to say.
You got
Scotty
Barnes.
Scotty Barnes
and Jakob Pertl.
Is locking that junk down.
You got Barnes and
Pertl. Nah. I don't see that happening.
Wall up.
I don't see that happening. Okay. Suns versus Trailblazers.
Give me the Suns.
Suns, yeah.
Okay.
The Suns coach. Who's the Suns coach?
It's
Jordan Ott, ain't it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All I'm gonna say is look out for that Blazers team next year. That's all I'm gonna say. Look out for that team next year.
This takes us to our favorite part of the podcast, the shout-outs. Listen, I want to shout out my family. I want to shout out God. Happy Easter, everybody. I want to shout out the Playmakers. Shout out the boys in the booth. Yeah. Shout out the Heat, man. Do some work.
Yeah. Shout out to God, man. Easter was amazing. Shout out to friends. Shout out to family. Shout out to everybody who got in that deal yesterday. Really appreciated that. Shout out to Atlanta, man. I'm going to be back on this weekend. So y'all turn up for me.
Grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, and friends, and shout out to the entire state of Mississippi with the exception of
Mississippi. Shout out to God, shout out to my city, shout out to my family, and shout out to everybody that made it back home for Easter, man. Great Sunday. First and foremost, gotta give a shout out to God, who's the best one to be here. Happy Resurrection Sunday, which is yesterday. Gotta give a shout out to my family, mom, pops. Thank you guys for throwing it down with that macaroni and cheese, those yams.
We didn't get an invite. That was crazy.
Crazy.
That is insane.
Hey, y'all listening, bro. Josh, tap in with me, bro.
Hey, bro, we like food, bro.
We do.
Hey, I mean, I can see if I can bring y'all a plate.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. You might not have to edit for a while.
But yeah. Instead of paying a man, you're going to make him not edit.
Hey, that's all I'm going to say, though, boys.
We appreciate y'all for listening. Click the link in our bio to give us some feedback. If you want to give us any type of feedback at 905 The Flavor or 905 The Flavor Sports, thank you guys so much for listening. Have time with the Playmakers.